Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
We are now getting very close to the big day. The most important day for most every child in every state of our nation, the morning when, having made their list and been as good as possible, kids drag their parents out of bed, rush into the living room to see what Santa's left under the Christmas tree. It is a morning of promises fulfilled, of wishes made and granted. Christmas morning is the essence of hope and joy. Even if there's not peace on earth exactly, or abundant blessing on all humankind on Christmas morning, it feels like it for just a minute. It's fleeting, but it's there. Even if before the wrapping paper is cleaned up, most of our kids are already thinking about what they'd like for Christmas next year. Just think about it for a minute. Think about how kids are on Christmas morning. How they know that dreams can come true. And if you really want something, you might actually get it. Adults aren't always like that. On Christmas morning, we stand back and we watch all this happen without feeling exactly the same hopefulness and joy ourselves. Of course, our adults still love Christmas morning. I love Christmas morning, but I don't look forward to it the same way I once did. I don't look forward to it the way our girls do. I wonder, in fact, if many adults like me would rather have Santa come down the chimney to take some of the stuff from my basement back to the North Pole rather than bring me anything else. A member of our church, she has too much stuff in her house, or she did, so she was having a yard sale last weekend. She's someone with outstanding taste. So as soon as Sarah and I heard about this yard sale, we made our way to her driveway. Then last Sunday, when a nice armchair hadn't sold, she invited us back over to pick it up if we still wanted it. Well, we did. And while I was loading this armchair into the back of our car, I asked her what the yard sale had been like. Most people don't like yard sales. I don't like the hassle of hauling everything outside, then getting up early the next morning to stand around while people pick over my stuff. Interestingly, this woman said that the hard part of having a yard sale for her was giving up and moving on. To have a yard sale, you're admitting that you're not going to get to all those things you thought you would. If you're selling it, then you're facing the fact that you're never really going to learn to recane those chairs or refinish that dresser. You're admitting that your son is really never going to come back home to collect his catcher's mitt. Your daughter really doesn't want her grandmother's paintings. To have a yard sale, you have to give up on something you imagined or promised yourself that you would do, which is even harder than finding out that some people are only willing to pay 75 cents for that thing that cost you 85 bucks. Most children are not thinking like this. Most children are still filling up their lives, not downsizing them. To them, the whole wide world is full of possibility, and their dreams are coming true on Christmas morning. They are good at wishing for. On the other hand, some of their parents have had to master the art of letting go, moving on, settling for less. If we didn't, imagine how full all our basements would be. Some brides hang on to their wedding dresses, imagining that one day their daughter might wear it. She won't. Some grooms hang on to their tuxedos, imagining that someday they'll fit into it again, but it's not going to happen. It's a hard thing to face such hard facts, so congratulate yourself if you've had a yard sale. Give someone else the opportunity to make their own pasta or brew their own beer, but be careful. Let go of the motorcycle. But don't give up on adventure. Let go of the golf clubs, but find another way to get outside. Let go of the bassinet, but don't give up on the future. Don't give up on the promise. For Zechariah, it had been so long. Surely he had given up on the idea that it would ever happen. Our second scripture lesson from the Gospel of Luke is the account of what Zechariah said once he had finally regained his speech. What he says here in our second scripture lesson is in celebration of his son, John the Baptist. But the background of our scripture lesson is that he had been waiting for a child so long that I can imagine the bassinet had long ago been sold or given away. They wanted a child, but the child never came. So rather than keep wishing, they had let go. Is that wrong? Well, it depends. Elizabeth and Zechariah were good and righteous people. The Gospel of Luke goes so far to say that they were, both of them, righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. And not only that, Zechariah was a priest, and Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron, the original priest of Israel. There can be no doubt that both of them knew right from wrong, went to the temple, not just on Sundays when they had to, but as often as possible. We should all assume that they knew how to pray, and when they had trouble conceiving, they knew who to ask for a miracle. But at some point or another, they must have stopped believing that it would ever actually happen. Month by month, the disappointment became too much to take, and rather than be the victim of their high expectations, they lowered their sights and settled into the reality that children would just not be in the cards. After all, both were getting on in years, so they had a yard sale and let go. Zechariah continued on as a priest. He kept on wearing his priestly garment, saying his priestly prayers, and was surely honored when he was chosen to go offer incense in the holiest place on earth, the sanctuary of the temple, the place where all good Jews know that God is most surely present. You can imagine that he was honored. But as a man who had gotten good at letting go of some of his dreams and some of his hopes, did he still imagine that he might meet God there? Had it been you, what would you have expected? Parents know that their kids are growing up when they stop believing in certain things, but where does stop believing in stop? Have you broken the news to your children that an acceptance letter to Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry isn't coming? But then, don't you still want your children to believe in magic? At some point, I had to let go of my dreams of becoming a professional baseball player. But did I also let go of the idea that I could be anything that I dreamed of being? Zechariah had stopped asking his wife about it. Now, a stomach bug was always just a stomach bug. But having given up on that dream as he entered the temple, the place thought to be the sanctuary of God, did he expect anything special to happen? What did he expect to see? Who did he expect to meet? When we start letting go, it's too easy to let go of too much. The word we say in here can become empty if we've gotten too good at letting go. It can become easy to participate in the rituals of worship without believing that those words mean much of anything. How often have I said to you, know that you are forgiven and be at peace? And how often have you really believed it? How often have I stood at the communion table and reminded all of us that Christ died for our salvation? And how often have we really taken this truth in? I think that must have been the case for Zechariah, that this man who must have known all the stories of Scripture by heart, all the accounts of God speaking to Abraham and Sarah, Rahab and Jacob and Moses, all the times angels appeared, all the miraculous events that changed the course of human history, still this man was terrified when the angel of the Lord actually showed up exactly in the place that an angel of the Lord is supposed to be, because he had let go of too much. He had even let go of the truth. But I can't say that I blame him. I talk to God all the time, and I believe that our God is a God of powerful love present with us here. But after a long night of the church, that last evening meeting when I'm the last one to leave the church and I have to lock up and make sure all the lights are turned off, especially in the sanctuary, I'll rush in there, flip the switches, and then get out as soon as I can for fear that the God of love who I preach about might actually show up. When Christmas is about this God being born, Christmas is about this God being really born and walking around on the earth. But do you really believe he's coming? Are you really ready for his birth? Or have you given up on believing in such miraculous things? Zechariah wasn't a faithless person. He was a priest, after all. But when an angel really showed up and told him that his prayer for a child would be answered, he was terrified. His wife, on the other hand, you might be thinking, and you thought Zechariah was afraid, but Luke tells us that after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me. When the Lord looked favorably on me and took away my disgrace, the disgrace that I have endured among my people." On the other hand, because of his faithlessness, the angel made Zechariah mute. Finally, once he was able to speak again, having only been able to watch and listen, he spoke the words of our second scripture lesson, which we just read, not like a mature old man having learned how to give up on all his unfulfilled dreams, but like a faithful prophet having had his eyes open to the God who is still at work on this earth. There was so much ritual to our celebration of Christmas, but do not forget that there is something terrifyingly real underneath all the wrapping paper. It is a love which changes everything. By the tender mercy of our God, The dawn from on high will break in upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. These are not empty words. This is no idle tale. This is prophecy fulfilled. The good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.